Hey everybody, welcome to the inaugural episode of The Lowdown, the show that gives you the latest news on TV, movies, and just random thoughts. My name's Carlos Freebert. I am your host, and joining me in my co-pilot seat is the one, the only, Bobby Rogue. Bobby, welcome to the inaugural episode of The Lowdown.
Thank you, Carlos.
The idea was, me and Bobby are a couple of friends. We've been friends for about, I don't know, 5-6 years now. We're always talking about random TV and movies and just stuff that we're interested in, and realized we're having some good conversations about it. So we decided to go ahead and put our thoughts down in a podcast, broadcast it to the world, and see who agrees or who doesn't, and kind of see what happens with that. So for this inaugural episode, we're going to do a couple different topics, two TV shows that we're currently interested in, the first one being V.
The fifth column says hello.
So, yep, V's been out for a couple weeks now. I think they've had 3 episodes. This was the 3rd episode that just happened. And being a fan back from the original 1984 V, you know, I was real interested in it, even though I haven't seen the original series in a long time. But Bobby, what do you think of the new show?
You know, I tend to be an 80s guy. I like the new show. I think it's good. I think it's fresh storyline. I like the cast. We can definitely say there's an all-star cast to it. But if you were to ask me today, you know, which one is better, I'd say 80s V. You got to go with the 80s. I'm a Generation Xer.
You know, it's funny because I didn't realize that Mark Singer was in the original V. I mean, it's like I said, it's been forever since I've actually watched it. I didn't catch the marathon that they had on the Sci-Fi Network. But yeah, it didn't click in my head that he was one of the original guys.
Absolutely. Mark Singer was one of the original guys. I mean, who cannot love the Beastmaster? The guy's amazing. I think for the original series and for the current series, he was one of the characters that really set the tone of where the series was going to go when it came to creativity.
Yeah, so if I'm sure everybody's that's at least listening to this knows what V is, but you know, the premise of the story is aliens come from outer space and they're trying to they come in peace supposedly, but the reality is they have a sinister plot behind it. The original TV story, you kind of knew who the aliens were. This time around, you really don't know who they are.
Exactly, and you don't know who they are. And I think if you're up on the sci-fi genre and you were to look back at some previous sci-fi shows, good sci-fi shows that have been out there, you know, it kind of follows the Battlestar Galactica timeline. You know, I think Carlos said it right then and there. You really don't know who's who. And if you look at Battlestar Galactica, they had sleeper agents, and now V has sleeper agents.
Yeah, you know, I like the whole premise that you don't know who they were. I like the premise that they've been here for a while already. I mean, it's coming out now. They've at least been here about between 20 and 30 years. You know, they've got these sleeper cells around. They're infiltrating different organizations. They're finding themselves in, you know, some of the highest level of government. And that's presenting an interesting twist because from what I remember, the original series, and correct me if I'm wrong, Bobby, but you knew who the V's were in the original one. You don't know who they are now.
Exactly. And I think you hit a huge bullseye on that plot line. In the new series, you know, we're introduced to the V's actually taking out their final phase on what they want to do with the human race. With the original series, you know, we were kind of led along with the story knowing, you know, what was going on, you know, phase by phase. So, that, like I said, you touched upon something really good. I think that's something that's really exciting about the new series is, you know, the Vs, you know, or the alien visitors that are supposedly the friends of humans, you know, they've been around for a long time and, you know, they're just ready to take care of Earth and take care of the people that live on it.
I think another interesting plot twist that they had was there's V's that have defected. Maybe defective is a bad word. At least up to this point, you had V's that were part of these sleeper cells that got, you know, put on Earth to infiltrate. And they kind of stopped doing that. They kind of went on their own, you know, kind of started blending in with the human race. Decided that whatever the V's were doing wasn't what they wanted to do. And now you're starting to see them come back around and actually joining part of the human resistance. And I thought that was an interesting plot twist that I don't remember that from the original show. Was there anything like that in the original one?
The original show did have aliens that did want to help the humans. But we started being introduced to them, you know, gradually into the series. You know, they started turning. And you're right. You know, you're bringing up some very good points with the new series because I popped big time, you know, knowing that in the new series, there were already aliens on Earth, you know, that have decided that they didn't want anything to do with, you know, the initial plan that, that the V's had, and that they were already actively resisting, you know, their own race.
Yeah. Yeah. So, since we're recording this like right after the third episode, let's talk a little bit about the third episode. So a couple big things happened in this episode. Number one, the V's for me always seemed like they were in control, and towards the end of this episode, even though they think they're in control of everything, there's some things that happen that shows that they're not. And more specifically, it's they've had people, what do they call them? The resistance was called the fifth column. I believe that's what they call them.
Exactly. And that was the alien resistance. Yeah. So one of the things that the series shows is that there's going to be, you know, essentially two resistance right now. You know, you've got the human resistance that is starting to form. But the biggest one that I think everybody was shocked about is, you know, at the end of episode three was there's an alien resistance and they're on board, you know, the alien motherships.
Yeah. Yeah. And one of the biggest telling parts of that was that doctor that was trying to heal the FBI agent, and I can't remember his name. So the one V that infiltrated the FBI in the first episode, he's the one that got his head split open, and you saw that fact that he was a reptoid or whatever.
Exactly.
You know,
exactly.
They take him back into this virtual world, and he's trying to relive it. And then next thing you know, he flips the scripts on him, and he ends up murdering him. You know, and what was the line? Greetings from the fifth column, and that part was so tight. It's such an unexpected twist for me.
Greetings from the fifth column has to have been one of the solid, you know, one-liners in television episodes for that week. I'm so excited to find out in the future episodes what exactly is this fifth column. How long have they been around? You know, how did it get formed? What went down? And that doctor, you know, and that's another thing. You know, these alien resistance, you know, they've got big positions. This guy was a doctor. You know, he shocked the hell out of, I'm going to go ahead and call him Pirate Steve. A lot of our listeners out there are going to remember him from, you know, previous movies as Pirate Steve. That doctor assassinated Pirate Steve. Hey, you know, it's a cool line. You can buy a T-shirt right now. Slap that one-liner out of greetings from the fifth column. I'm sure by now somebody has already registered that domain.
Yeah, and you know, if they didn't, we probably should. But the big thing, too, about this doctor is, you know, he's got ties right into the highest level of the V leadership hierarchy. I mean, he was talking to Anna's chief of staff or whatever position that guy holds directly about this you know, trying to heal this guy. We saw from the previews that they're going to wonder how he was murdered. And you're going to go down that whole story arc based on the previews, it seems like. So it's going to be interesting. I mean, I didn't understand when it all was happening and they're talking about the female FBI agent, and we really got to get these names down, but they were talking about the female FBI agent and they said that she was going to be a good ally. I'm like, it didn't make sense at first.
Exactly. And for our listeners out there, FBI agent, her name actually on the series is Erica Evans, otherwise known to our listeners as Juliet from another hit series, Lost.
From Lost, exactly. And you know, it's funny that you bring that up because when I first started watching this series, the first thing I thought of was that, man, this is really Lost-esque. I mean, the way the music is, the kind of the way they lead up into the different breaks, you know, the commercial breaks, it really feels Lost, you know, like it, you know, it's based on Lost. And I'm not sure if it's the directors from Lost or producers from Lost, but man, every time I watch the show, I think of Lost.
I got to agree with you. There's definitely a Lost tone. The colors, you know, the way the script is going, character development, spoilers, plots, surprises. You know, I think right now we're looking at one of the best episodes that is going to go down in television in 2009-2010.
Yeah. And you know, the thing is, from what I understand, I was listening to a couple different podcasts, and I guess they've only made four episodes for November, which the next one is going to be next week, of course, and then there's going to be a break until like next year sometime. Have you heard anything about that?
Exactly. So the original plan was to air four episodes right now. So if you guys are really familiar with television, this all went down during November sweeps, which is huge for ratings and for advertisers. After that, you know, we got to go to the Winter Olympics, so we're going to break for that.
Oh, that's right.
And then
right.
V's coming back for five episodes in March.
Yeah, I completely forgot about the Winter Olympics. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So with that said, it seems to me that, you know, the creators of the show have been very strategic the last couple of years, exactly how they were going to lay this out for the audiences. You know, it's really going to want us, you know, to have some V. You know, I need my V fix, man. I can't wait till March.
You know, and the thing is that's the worst part of it. So they're going to have some big cliffhanger next week, and then we're going to be stuck until March.
Exactly, exactly. Now, hopefully, you know, all the other fans out there, you know, are like me, where we're going to be waiting. We're going to have the TiVos, the DVR set up, you know, and we're going to want to continue. We definitely don't want to see any viewers drop because of the big gap. But hey, come on, Olympics only come, you know, every 4 years.
You know, the thing is this show is really a sci-fi show. But when you really look at it, sci-fi is just such a small part of the overall show itself. It's really more of a drama.
Exactly. And it comes down to being about people. And that's the great thing, and V's done a great job with it. I think it's following another sci-fi show's footsteps. Lost was a great example of how it was just about individuals and telling somebody's story, and Lost did a great job with that. And then to what I think is one of the greatest written sci-fi series in the history of sci-fi, Battlestar Galactica. You know, it may have been taken in outer space and everything went down in space, but it really came down to the people.
Yeah, yeah. What did you think of the fact that that young blonde V, and man, I really got to figure out these names.
Young blonde V. Oh, we know who we're talking about. For our fans out there, we're talking about Supergirl from Smallville.
What do you think about her being Anna's daughter?
Oh, well, hey, that was another shocker last episode. You know, I mean, who cannot forget when she says, "Yes, mother."
Yeah, and the thing is when she started having this relationship with the FBI agent's son, the first thing I thought of is that she's going to flip and she's going to become part of the resistance.
Yeah, yeah, she very well could flip. But, you know, I think what the new creators of V are giving us, you know, to compared to the 80s fans is I'm starting to see, you know, some comparisons, you know, some salutes to the old fans on shows that are going down that way. When I look at that relationship between Erica Evans' son and we're just going to go ahead and call her Supergirl for now, that reminds me of another relationship between, you know, a young couple in the 80s version, you know. And for you fans out there that remember the 80s version, you know, the end result of that was the Star Child.
Is that, yeah, that's for the original one, right?
Exactly. So I think what the creators were giving us is they were kind of giving us like a little bit of flashback, a little bit of remembrance, you know, on how all that went down. You know, I think you just brought up a very good point. She very well can turn. But I think on the other side, I think Erica Evans' son, I think he may be a thorn in the resistance side.
Yeah, so you know what? That can go either way, right? So it could either be Anna's daughter that flips, or it could be Erica's son that flips.
And you know, right now that we're talking about this, you know, what do those things have in common? Anna is the leader of the Visitors, and I think it's very clear that Erica Evans is going to be the leader of the Resistance.
How do you think Erica's going to react if she finds out that one guy is a V, the one that's part of the Resistance now?
Oh, man. I mean, I think you can make a series out of that yourself. I don't know if Morris Chestnut, you know, of Boys in the Hood fame, you know, knows how he's reacting, you know, to being an alien. I don't think he's fully swallowed that yet. You know, I think he just may have a hate for the aliens right now, and he wants to help the humans, you know, but I think that guy's lost or blinded in his own world. I mean, by God's sake, you know, he's got a fiance who doesn't know he's a reptile.
Yeah.
So I think it's twofold here. You know, you've got Erica Evans, who we know she's going to have to find out he's a V, and then, you know, his fiance is going to find out he's a V, but if you follow the storyline of the 80s, you know, the human resistance will be accepting, you know, of V's that are resistance themselves.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the other thing, too, that I noticed in this episode was when Erica Evans saved the chief of staff guy, when she saved his life, and there was a kind of little look between the two. As it is, the chief of staff is kind of, and I can't remember the names here. So it seems like he's not agreeing with everything Anna's doing. And then it kind of seemed like there was this little thing between him and Erica. I don't know if it's a matter of him appreciating, like genuinely appreciating that she saved his life. The thing is, I guess she really didn't save his life, because the guy that was going to assassinate him was actually a V. So, but, you know, it just seemed like there was this awkward little moment between them.
Yeah, I think right now the fans are on a roller coaster ride. I think it remains to be said who is good and who is evil. But if you were to ask me today, you know, to roll the dice and say, hey, is Chief of Staff going good or evil? Today I'd say, I think in the end, he might end up foiling some of Anna's plans.
Yeah, so it's going to be good. I mean, I'm looking forward to next week's episode and kind of seeing how this all plays out. When the very first episode I saw, I was kind of torn whether I liked it or not. The second episode had me. I mean, I was completely in because I really wanted to see what was going to happen. And then this whole thing with the fifth column and figuring out who they are and how they fit in the grand scheme of things. I'm really interested to see what happens now.
And that's funny that you said that, because when I saw the first episode, I really wasn't sold on the idea. You know, I had it on my DVR, so, you know, I kind of was forced to watch the second episode. But once I watched the second episode, I started seeing plotline development. I was, you know, completely in. But, you know, doing some comparisons, you know, again, like I said, I'm a big 80s fan. You know, I'm going to drop a little bit of facts out there to the audience. You know, in the 80s, that original episode was seen by 45 million viewers. I don't think 45 million viewers saw, you know, V2009 pilot. But, you know, when you do some comparisons in the original series, you know, those Vs, you know, we can say they were badass, because there was 50 ships that hovered around Earth. In the new series, it was 29.
Yeah.
You know, I would have liked to see, you know, a little bit more. Also, you know, in the original series, you know, these Vs, they were a little bit of a mystery. You know, if the fans from the 80s remember, they all wore these big, you know, sunglasses. You couldn't see behind their eyes because they were sensitive to the sun. You know, in this one, you know, they look completely like humans, you know, but, you know, fans will see, you know, what is, I guess, quote unquote, really underneath that skin.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's going to be interesting to see how it goes down. I'm really looking forward to it. I'm hoping that they keep the show around. I guess the one thing I'm afraid of is, you know, I'm the kind of guy that gets hooked on a show like Terminator, and then it got canceled, and they never really finished it out. So I was really disappointed by stuff like that. I'm really hoping that does not happen with V, but I guess only time will tell.
Isn't it horrible when good TV gets canceled? And, you know, I think this is a chance for us to give a little bit of a thumbs down to Fox, because Fox, come on, Fox. Quit canceling good shows. You know, Terminator, great show, canceled. How about last week? Dollhouse gets canceled.
Yeah.
You know, so hopefully ABC doesn't go by the way of Fox and, you know, cancel this show. The good thing about it is that, you know, it's being advertised as a miniseries, you know, so what can come of it is, you know, a full-on series. But, you know, man, nine episode miniseries, we haven't seen that for a long time.
You know, and the interesting part about that is, so it, since it is a miniseries, it's going to have a definitive end. So what really happens after that? I mean, are they going to be able to take that and put it into a show? I hope so.
Yeah. For our 80s fans, if you remember the original miniseries, you know, the humans did not win that battle. The V's had the upper hand. And at the end of the original miniseries, you know, it was a gentleman and a female who actually sent a message out to outer space, you know, trying to contact other alien life forms for them to come to Earth and help them with the fight against the V's. Because, you know, the old villain, or, you know, back in the 80s was Diana. And Diana, man, she put up a fight. She had the upper hand on those humans.
Yeah, I really got to see that old V, man. I gotta rent it or something, because I got to watch it again.
You know, you're just giving me so many flashbacks, Carlos. Another thing that I love about this new series is, you know, it's a great show, great plot lines, great drama. But, you know, they're giving us a little bit of sexy also, you know. And one of the things that I loved about sexy in the 80s, for all you fans out there, obviously you guys know that I love the 80s. But in the original series, there was a scene where Mark Singer and a female V were in a room together, and the female V helped Mark Singer escape. And how did she do that? She stripped down out of her V uniform. She was in a sexy two-piece bikini, threw her uniform over to Mark Singer, and Mark Singer escaped on the ship and went back to Earth, you know, to give the human resistance some intelligence on the aliens. I think we got a little bit of sexy, and I think actually it was a homage, you know, to that scene back in the 80s where we see, we're going to call her Supergirl, you know, young V, blonde, hot, cutie, was with Erica Evans' son, and Erica Evans, it's very well known that she doesn't like the V's, and what did she do so her son wouldn't get in trouble? Stripped out of her uniform into that beautiful two-piece she was wearing, threw it away, and boom, you know, you get a remembrance. When I think of stuff like that, I think Farrah Fawcett poster. Yeah. Hot, and you won't forget it.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's going to be interesting. We'll see what happens with that one. So, any last thoughts on V?
You know, I can't wait for 2010. You know, those are my thoughts for now. I hope that the creators are going to continue to give us these plot twists. And all I got to say is, hey, hooray for sci-fi. You know, sci-fi back in the old days was for nerds, was for dorks. You know, isn't it wonderful that sci-fi now is mainstream America?
Well, yeah, I mean, there's a complete difference between, you know, being geek is a cool thing now, so too bad it wasn't like that when we were younger.
I know. Hopefully we'll be reviewing more sci-fi shows, but hopefully we'll be talking about more explosive V action, yeah, you know, in the future.
Absolutely. So let's move on a little bit. So speaking of, even though this isn't really sci-fi, well, I don't know. You know, would you consider hero sci-fi or you know, I don't know. It's comic book. I mean, that's completely different.
That's true. Maybe hero. Yeah, I mean, it's definitely could be graphic novel, can definitely be comic book, you know, can maybe be fantasy. Man, you know, I just don't know the answer to that. I'll tell you what it is. It's enjoyable to watch.
You know, I'm on the fence on heroes. This season is better than last season. Yep. I'm enthralled in the story because I'm at the point where I kind of just want to see Samuel get it. I want to see him and Siler go at it because you know that's coming. I'm very frustrated with Matt Parkman's character because, you know, he needs to get out of his little I'm scared to use my power. I mean, he's got such a powerful power. And if you think about his dad and what his dad did with that power, man, I mean, he let Siler run all over him, you know?
Puppet Master was such an awesome character.
Yeah, it was. And, you know, Matt could be that character, except he could be, you know, even being a good guy, and he chooses not to be. You know, it's frustrating.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of Matt Parkman. Those are one of those characters where I wish that they just commit suicide and go away.
And then, you know, Hero's the same way. I mean, Hero in the future is this bad, you know, kind of samurai kind of guy. But in the present, he keeps jumping back and he keeps messing up time. And I'm so tired of that kind of same cyclic storyline with him.
Exactly. And I think the creators and writers of that show have gone way overboard with his kind of, you know, Trekky, nerdy persona where he just becomes a fumbling idiot, kind of like Screech from Saved by the Bell. Yeah. You know, I'm ready for Samurai Hero.
Yeah. And then I guess we're going to start this segment out by talking about the crap we don't like. So I'm tired of Claire and her father. I'm tired of the whole, you know, they're getting along. Then halfway through the season, something happens and they start to question each other. Well, really, it's Claire questioning her father and what he's doing. And but one thing I am happy about that whole storyline is that, you know, Hormren Glasses is coming back. You're seeing him in his gangster old self, especially when he had that gun pulled on Samuel last week. Was awesome. I'm waiting for him to come back and be the, you know, kind of like he was in season one.
I liked horn-rimmed glasses, excuse me. That's kind of like a tongue twister there.
Yeah, it is.
I think that's one of the greatest villains, you know, on the show. And I think a lot of people will disagree with me and say, what are you talking about? He's a hero. I'll say, yeah, I think when the dust settles, he's going to be a villain.
Hmm. And then let's get to Peter. Peter, when he was the true empath that he was in season one and most of season two, he was awesome. This whole thing where he got damaged last season and he doesn't have his full power, where he's got to absorb powers by touching them, which is more like his dad's power was. is lame. It's absolutely lame. And I thought that once he got the healing power from that kid, I thought he was going to be able to heal himself. And obviously that's not the case.
Exactly. And Peter Petrelli, I think it's a disappointment. And I think that the writer should be charged with plagiarism on this character, because all you got to do is go to the WB on Friday nights and watch Smallville and watch young Superboy be the exact character that Peter Petrelli is playing. And I got to say, I'm a big fan of Smallville. Smallville had that idea first.
Really? Yeah, I'm not really into Smallville, so that's interesting that you said that. That's a different perspective for me. But definitely interested in Samuel. Definitely interested in what the deal is with him. It was an interesting twist this week that they kind of went back in time and kind of figured out what happened with his brother. Keeping in mind that within the season, there's only been a few weeks since his brother's death, which was in the first episode of this season. And, you know, the present where he sends Hero back to try to get the film from Mohinder. There's only been a couple weeks, you know. And so they depicted this guy as a drunk, as a recluse. And you really haven't seen him that way. And I think one of the things when I was talking to some buddies at work about it, the major villain last season was the agent guy, the guy that didn't have any powers, but, you know, he was the main agent guy that was trying to capture all the specials, right? And then partway through the season, you saw him lose control. He wasn't in control anymore, and you saw a different side of him. And that's kind of what they did with Samuel this week. You saw a different side of Samuel where he really wasn't in control of what he was doing, or you know, he was more this emotional type character, which you really haven't seen too much of him. So it was an interesting twist to his character for this week.
It was a great twist. I popped big time when I found out that, you know, this, you know, character that they had been talking about that had died at the beginning of the series and that they had buried was actually, you know, Samuel's brother. But I also like, you know, the turn that, you know, Heroes, you know, went with this season, which I think actually saves the series, is that they went with this carnival type where you've got traveling gypsies, you know, and what do you do when you have powers and you're not accepted, you know, by the world? You know, you go out on your own.
Yeah.
And you're a gypsy. So I like that story. You know, I'm not sure if they're all going to be heroes or villains or what exactly is going to end up, you know, with, I guess, the freaks, the traveling circus. But when I think of it, I think of that hot chick that Samuel likes to stick needles into and have those tattoo images.
Yeah.
I think that's a pretty cool, you know, storyline.
Yeah, and it's going to be interesting because if you remember the preview, you know, she's kind of teaming up with Hero to stop Samuel. At least that's the way the preview made it seem. So that whole twist, and I'm wondering too, you know, they always have these the little mini web thing that they got going on with Sprint, you know, on the commercials. And yep. You know, there was this thing between them. I wonder if that's going to actually start playing itself out in the actual show.
Yeah. I personally am a big fan of Beauty. I hope they sign her on as a regular cast member.
But I'm definitely excited to see Siler get back in his body. I'm waiting for him to come back in full force and just be the evil, you know, character that he's been. You know, the whole thing with Matt was kind of cool. I did like that part of it, even though I didn't like Matt just kind of backing down to Siler. The whole twist that Siler did of flipping the mind around and everything, I thought that was kind of cool. You know, for a second there, I thought they were really kill Partman's character off. But, you know, I knew that was too good to be true, especially because Peter had the healing power. But what I found interesting was, what did you think about, I don't want to, her name's not Nikki anymore. I forgot her name now.
Let's just call her Hot Blonde. We all know who she's talking about. Ice Woman.
Yeah.
Water Ice Woman.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, Tracy.
Tracy
Strauss. That's right. So, what's the deal with Tracy and Claire? What did you take from that whole scene?
You know, I think it's just another woman power thing. You know, they're going to team up. That's what I got out of it. I think that's what the writers and the creative team, you know, were doing, is that they wanted to pair up, you know, two of the women heroes. I think that if you go back and think about the show, the women heroes have never been paired up together. I think this is a first for us.
You know, the thing I took from that was, so, you know, they had this whole lesbian thing going on, right, between Claire and her roommate.
Oh, yeah.
Which was an interesting twist. And now, at first, when Tracy and Claire were kind of hanging out and talking and laughing, you know, you see this big sister, little sister kind of thing, right? Hmm. But then I was thinking, Well, that other, the other, her, her college roommate is going to be coming back, and I wonder if they're going to try to twist it where this, where she gets jealous of this relationship, and it plays back into that whole kind of confused lesbian thing that they had going on.
I, for one, love lesbian storylines, and for all our fans out there, if you want to see, you know, Claire's hot roommate in a great scene, watch Californication. She's there nude, writing Hank Moody. So go ahead and watch that show. Go ahead and put it on your TiVo or DVR. But Carlos, I think you're absolutely right. I think that we're in for a love triangle. And hey, I'm down for a lesbian hero. Who doesn't want a lesbian hero?
Yeah, that's that's interesting. I didn't really think of it that way, but okay. And I don't watch Californication, so I didn't even realize that she was on there.
Well, she's a beauty.
You know, I think what one thing that we did talk about, like I said, I've got some buddies at work that love heroes, and we talk about this stuff all the time, is do you think that the college roommate has a power?
I'm waiting to see that power. I definitely think the college roommate has a power. I don't think she's got the power now. I think that the storyline is going to develop where she will have a power. I think they kind of took, you know, a page out of the Ando in a hero storyline, which, you know, Ando has Jedi powers. No, well, not Jedi powers. He's got Sith powers. but I think they're kind of going down that same timeline.
Yeah. Yeah. So overall, heroes, what, I mean, thumbs up, thumbs down. What do you think?
You know, I loved season one. And some seasons have been disappointed, but I'm a fan of fantasy. I'm a fan of comics. I'm hoping that in the end, the creators and the writing team are going to do right by the fans. So I'm going to go ahead and give them a thumbs up, hoping that Heroes gets better.
Yeah, yeah. And we'll see, because I know that their fan base kind of has gone down over the past few seasons, and you know, I had heard some internet chatter that saying that Heroes might be, you know, going away, you know, so we'll see. We'll see what happens. I kind of hope it doesn't. I hope they get back to their roots and really start playing it up. But they got to really rethink these storylines. And, you know, what happened to Micah? Where's he at? You haven't seen him all season. What happened to the young girl that can track heroes, you know, people with powers? Remember her from like the first and second seasons?
Exactly. Exactly. And you know what? His name, you know, I'm drawing blanks here. But how about Hero's arch nemesis, the blonde guy? What happened to him? The samurai from back in time.
Oh, yeah. Remember, he got killed, man.
Oh, did he?
He was killed by Peter Petrelli's dad.
Oh, okay. Got it.
Yeah. Yeah, he was killed in last season. Very early in the last season, they killed him off. Takeo Kinsei, or whatever his name was.
I love that guy. I think they should bring him back. Figure out, do like soap operas, do like Days of Our Lives and One Life to Live. Well, you know, figure out a way to bring that guy back.
Well, you know, the interesting part is we were talking about that at work too, is so, you know, Hero jumped back in time and saved Mohinder. So technically Mohinder's back now, right? So there's nothing saying, like, my question is, how are they going to bring back Nathan? I thought the way they were going to bring back Nathan was that Peter was going to heal him with his healing power somehow. And that's not going to happen, because Peter doesn't have that healing power anymore.
Yeah.
So another way that to save Nathan possibly is for Hero to jump back and bring him forward.
Exactly. Exactly. And you know, on the topic of characters, you know, let's talk about some of these wussy characters, at least in my opinion. You know, what's up with the girl that, you know, that she has, you know, beautiful colors? It reminds me of the Care Bears cartoon. Come on now.
Oh, you're talking about the deaf one that can manipulate sound?
Yeah, I think she's better off staying on Curb Your Enthusiasm. She did a much better job on that show.
You know, I'm wondering, you know, you see a little bit of what she can do with her sound power, but it's going to be interesting to see, you know, how that plays itself out, because that power is just manifesting itself and you really don't see it anywhere. What do you think of Charlie? Where do you think Charlie's at?
Charlie, well, I thought that Charlie, you know, was, you know, lost in time somewhere, you know. But, you know, talking to some, you know, fans, they seem to differ on where Charlie is. Where do you think Charlie is?
You know, I personally don't think she's anywhere. I think she's in exactly the timeline where Hero went back to. And I think what happened was the circus. See, if you remember, okay, the way the circus guy jumped back was he had to use the old man to time travel. the old man didn't have a lot of time travel left in him because it was killing him, right? So the old man jumped him back, and then the old man died. And the only way that Samuel was able to get back to the present time was to trick Hero to take him back to the present time so he can save Charlie. But what you see is you saw Charlie walking forward in front of Hero. Then the next thing you know, the scene kind of shifted, and Samuel was standing in front of Hero. I don't think Charlie went anywhere. I think she kept walking down that street. I think that Samuel tricked Hero, thinking that he had her trapped, and he really doesn't.
I think that's a very advanced, you know, feeling on where Charlie is, and I think you might have hit the bullseye on that one. You know, that would be such a great story, you know, because then again, it proves to us that, you know, the Hero Nakamura that, you know, we know and love from season one, Jesus Christ, I mean, come on, he's such a buffoon nowadays.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out. So, you know, I'm going to keep watching. You know, I'm a fan. The last couple episodes have been pretty good. I definitely like the one that just happened this past Monday. So, yeah, we'll see what happens with that. So moving on. So for this weekend, this is actually kind of interesting for the inaugural episode. Bobby Rogue happens to be here locally. We don't live. We actually live on different coasts of the country, but he happens to be here this weekend. We're actually going to go see Survivor Series in Washington, D.C. on Sunday. So we're looking forward to that. So
WWE.
So this first episode, we're actually recording live together, which is kind of cool. Subsequent episodes, we're going to be broadcasting via Skype and stuff. So what do you think of Survivor Series? Are you looking forward to it?
You know, I'm a big wrestling fan. I've been watching wrestling, you know, forever, and personally, it's a personal victory for me to go to Survivor Series because I've seen the major events that WWE throws. You know, you and I went, you know, to Staples Center, you know, WrestleMania, I believe 21.
Yeah, it was 21, yeah.
WrestleMania goes Hollywood. I've seen SummerSlam. I've seen Royal Rumble. So this completes, you know, the big quad.
The
big four for the WWE. I can't wait to see Survivor Series. I'm really excited that, you know, that there's more Survivor Series style matches than in the previous year. But I got to say this. I'm a new fan of some of the new wrestling talent. I'm looking forward to seeing the All-American Jack Swagger. I'm looking forward to seeing the Shaman of Sexy, John Morrison. And I'm looking forward to seeing the, I don't know if what nationality I am. Sometimes I speak with an accent, sometimes I don't, Kofi Kingston.
Dude, I tell you what, a couple of Raws ago, say what you want about Triple H, but one of the funniest lines he ever said was Kofi Kingston was out in the ring and he started talking and he didn't have that Jamaican accent anymore. And Triple H is like, what the heck happened to your Jamaican accent? And it was probably one of the funniest things I've ever seen on wrestling.
Yeah, you know? Creative needs to get with it, and I agree with you. It probably was one of the funniest things ever to see on wrestling. I'm going to have to go back and look at that film again so I can get a good laugh while I'm drinking a six-pack of Yingling, which you can only buy in the East Coast and not on the West Coast. Get with it, Yingling, America's oldest brewery. But, yeah, I mean, come on. Kofi Kingston, I think, you know, such a great wrestling talent, but they're all messed up with his character because, like you just said, he's from Jamaica, you know, and he's got a Jamaican accent. But when he's introduced to the ring by the ring announcer, they say that he's from, I think, New Guinea, Africa or something like that.
You know, what I do like is I'm glad they're starting to kind of push these younger wrestlers. It's interesting that he had he's got this rivalry going on with Randy Orton right now. And the whole thing with the NASCAR and him beating up the NASCAR and everything was awesome because you saw a different side of his character that you've never really seen before. I hope they keep that up. He's definitely got to work on his mic skills, but I think overall his character is going to be good. I'm looking forward to that match. I'm looking forward to seeing The Undertaker because I don't think The Undertaker has too many matches anymore. I mean, rumor has it he's going to retire next year. He's already on a reduced schedule because, you know, of injuries and he just can't keep it up, you know, keep up anymore. But big fan of The Undertaker, been a fan of The Undertaker for a long time. I would love to see him walk into WrestleMania as the actual WWE champion and defend it and still win and then leave that way. You know, I think that he's earned the right to not lose at a WrestleMania and to go ahead and leave as a world champion.
Undertaker's definitely a locker room leader. I'd love to see him go down exactly how you just described. Do a little rest in peace. Have the Druids come in the ring, take him out. What do you think about the Undertaker movie that's about to be written and filmed?
You know, I'm not a fan of WWE movies, to be real honest with you. The Marine, well, you know, I got to caveat this by saying I haven't watched any of them. But the reviews that I've heard is the reason why I haven't watched any of them, because, you know, they haven't been too good. You know, hopefully it'll be good, but, you know, we'll see. I guess only time will tell.
And I agree with you. I mean, WWE films, they suck. I mean, they're not even B-flicks. They're like more like D-flicks. You know, it's something that you watch at 3 a.m. on Cinemax or Showtime, or even worse, on Encore. I hope that if WWE would do the right thing and send that Undertaker script, hopefully to get rewritten, because if WWE wrote it, it's going to suck, and send it off to a big studio. You know, and give us like a real Western, you know, white hat versus black hat, you know, Undertaker versus good guy. And let's find out how the Undertaker came to be.
Yeah.
You know, that would be pretty cool. I mean, the Undertaker comics, I've taken a gander at those and they're pretty nice.
Yeah. Yeah. Have you heard the news about Hulk Hogan going to TNA?
Hulk Hogan to TNA. Yeah, that's pretty interesting. You know, the only Hogan I'm really into nowadays is Brooke Hogan. but yeah, I mean, you know, I don't know, that's another conversation we can have another day, or we can have it right now. You know, WWE versus TNA. Obviously TNA, you know, it isn't on WWE's level, you know, but will Hogan, you know, bring TNA up to par? Here's my answer. I say no, and it has nothing to do with the talent. It has everything to do with that six-sided ring, which I think personally sucks and takes away from the action and excitement of pro wrestling.
You know, I was I listened to a couple different podcasts, and I listened to a podcast called ImpactWrestling.com, and they were talking about Hogan, and they reported that Hogan was quoted as saying that he wanted to restart the Monday Night Wars with Raw, but just using the TNA brand. And the opinion that they gave on the show was they really didn't see a need for that. And I kind of agree with that. I think the Monday Night Wars are kind of played out. What I'm worried about for TNA is I think it's a good program and they've got some great young talent. When you're bringing in these old guys like Hogan, and they've already got Eric Bischoff, is it Eric Bischoff? Eric Bischoff is writing for them and doing stuff for them. And I think they're going to try to use this old stuff that I don't think is going to work anymore. I'm really kind of worried for TNA when they're making moves like this.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's a rough one. I think back in the old WCW days when they signed Hogan, everybody was saying the same thing. You know, Hogan was old. You know, he was washed up. There was nothing he was going to do for WCW, you know. And they hit the lottery with, you know, the Hulk Hogan heel turn into the NWO. You know, and then the WWF hit the lottery with the Hulk Hogan heel turn back into the original, you know, golden red. But what can you do now? You can't obviously recreate the character. He's Hulk Hogan, you know. And, you know, I don't know. You know, Hulk Hogan, I like him. You know, I remember when I went to my first wrestling matches over at the Cow Palace in San Francisco. He main evented against King Kong Bundy. I was popping big time. The place was electric. I was on fire. I loved it. But Hulk Hogan now, you know, one thing about wrestling I got to say, lots of egos. Step aside, you know, for the youngsters.
Yeah.
One thing I see TNA doing is they keep continuing to bring the old guys. If you want to bring an old guy back, there's one old guy that doesn't get his due credit. That's the Macho Man, Randy Savage. How about him?
You know, that's interesting that you're saying that, because additionally on this podcast that I was listening to, Hogan brought up that he's going to bring folks back like Macho Man, like Stone Cold Steve Austin, which I don't know how he would pull Stone Cold Steve Austin, because the different interviews I've heard with Stone Cold, he doesn't exactly get along with Hulk Hogan. He's also talking about bringing back the Nasty Boys, which was interesting. I don't know why you would bring back the Nasty Boys, but I think that one of the Nasty Boys was in his show, from what I understand.
Yeah, I think it's Brian Knobbs that is one of Hulk Hogan's best friends, and I think that's a bad move. I think, you know, Nasty Boy Brian Knobbs, he should stick to, you know, Florida Championship Wrestling. I think that's where he wrestles out of. And I think that would be a status state, you know, for the status of wrestling, because if you see Nasty Boy Brian Knobbs show up, then you're obviously going to see Jimmy Hart show up, and then you're going to see Brutus, I'm washed up, Beefcake show up. You know, let's let some of the, you know, new stars shine. TNA's got some good stars out there. You know, my personal favorite in TNA, you know, Christopher Daniels, the Fallen Angel.
Yeah, yeah. So who do you, on WWE side, which star are you looking forward to rising through the ranks?
Oh, man. Right now, the All-American, Jack Swagger, and John Morrison. Those are the two guys, you know, that I like. And then another guy that I'd like to see have the big-time title on Raw, which everybody knows is, you know, the flagship show for the WWE is, you know, can I hear it for my peeps? I gotta love, and I gotta go with Christian.
Yeah, yeah. You know, and I had high hopes for Christian coming back. I was worried about him coming back from TNA over to WWE. You know, they're doing okay by him, I guess. They need to pull him out of ECW and get him in one of the bigger brands again. But yeah, I hopefully they don't screw up his character like they did with a couple other people that got brought over from TNA. But, you know, time will see. I'm digging Evan Bourne. I think Evan Bourne's an awesome wrestler, awesome young wrestler.
Yeah, he's good.
You know, for what it's worth, legacy, you know, Cody Rhodes and Ted DiBiase, I think there are going to be some tough talents as, you know, they're young talents still, but they're going to be coming up, and it's going to be interesting to see when they flip on Randy Orton. You know, that's coming eventually, and you can kind of see it. They keep kind of doing it with Ted DiBiase a little bit, but that's going to happen, you know, and maybe we'll see it at Survivor Series this weekend. Maybe they'll flip on him and join forces with Kofi Kingston, but you know, we'll see how that plays itself out.
That gets me even more pumped up, you know, to start the countdown for the Survivor Series, you know, this Sunday. I mean, let the Thanksgiving tradition continue. It's going to be a great show, but I think something, you know, key that you just mentioned, you know, and I'm going to go back to a little bit of your questions talking about the old guys is, if you want to bring an old guy back and you want to see good television, then you need to bring back the $1 million man, Ted DiBiase.
Well, you know, I've heard a lot of different chatter about bringing him back to be the general manager, because everybody's getting tired of these guest general managers, that they need a full-time one again, and Ted DiBiase, I think, would be a perfect one. And when he did it, that was actually a really good show, and they kind of, you know, they did really well creatively with what he did on that show. So it'd be good to bring him back, I think, to be the general manager.
I was actually at that show live in San Jose, California, one of the best Raws that I had ever seen. Ted DiBiase, you know, he is true, you know, one of the true, you know, wrestling legends, you know, and technicians, you know, of the sports. You know, I know you have your big stars, but when you look at the people, you know, who truly bleed wrestling, you know, you got to look at the guys who are, you know, backstage, you know, training, you know, the up and coming talent. And we know that Ted DiBiase is back there.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. So any last thoughts on wrestling right now?
You know, I hope that wrestling gets better. You know, I love the girls. You know, I love the girls. I haven't seen Maria, you know, wrestling, you know, for a while. Would love to see, you know, Trish Stratus show up. But I hope we get surprised, you know, in, you know, the Verizon Center in D.C. this Sunday, you know, with the state of wrestling. You know, I hope the WWE turns it up, you know, and gives the fans a show.
Yeah.
Me how too. About you?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. I'm a big fan of WWE. I don't watch TNA as much as I should. I catch it when I can. I think we're going to probably watch Raw from this week when we get off the show tonight, and just kind of get ready for this weekend. I'm looking forward to this weekend. I haven't been to a show since we went to WrestleMania 21 way back when. Looking forward to the seats this time, because last time when we went to WrestleMania, we were behind the TitanTron, which was not a fun place to be sitting because you really couldn't see a whole lot till they got down in the ring. So I'm looking forward to being a little bit closer. These are the best seats I've ever had going to a wrestling match, and it ought to be a great, great time. So, well, that being said, you know, this is the end of the inaugural episode of The Lowdown, giving you the lowdown on TV, movies, and just different random thoughts. If you want more information about the show, please go to lowdownradio.com, where you can find our updates on the show and when we post new podcasts. You can also follow us on Twitter. That's twitter.com/lowdownradio. And if you got any tips or suggestions on what you'd like to hear on the show, send an email to podcast@lowdownradio.com. Bobby, any last words before we take off for the evening?
All I got to say is thank you to all the fans who are tuning in tonight. And all I got to say is I'm Bobby Rogue. You need to be Rogue. And if you're not Rogue, what the hell are you?
All right, for Bobby, for myself, thanks so much for listening to the inaugural episode. We look forward to bringing you good quality shows throughout the rest of the year and up until next year. And have a great, great evening.